Hebrews chapter 1. Well, I reckon that Paul wrote Hebrews. The style is very much Paul, and he's, in my opinion, writing this, or it's possibly a transcript of a sermon that he gave to the church in Jerusalem. He is addressing Hebrew converts, Jews, who have been baptized into Jesus but are starting to slip away. And yet, of course, he was known in Jerusalem. He had lived there, he had been a zealous Jew there, he'd persecuted the church there, and he had effectively been behind the murder of Stephen, who was one of the founders of the church there in the early days in Jerusalem. And I think that Stephen's witness that he makes in Acts 7 that's recorded there, I think that that speech of Stephen actually converted Paul, actually. That's my belief. So he was converted by Stephen, or that was one of the factors, that was one of the prods in his side, as Jesus says to him, how can you go on walking against the prods that keep prodding you? And some people reckon that Stephen wrote Hebrews because they say they see a lot of connections with Stephen's words, as recorded in his speech in Acts 7. And those connections are valid, and your homework can be to go through Hebrews and find them all. Well, those connections are valid, in my opinion, but I think that it's still Paul writing this, and that he is touched by Stephen, that he keeps alluding to Stephen because of the huge impact which Stephen had upon him. It'll be a glorious day at the resurrection when Stephen resurrects and the last he'd seen was Saul, Paul, cussing him probably and calling judgment upon him and arranging for the stones to be thrown at him. And this man then turns out to be one of the greatest Christians of all time. What a wonderful surprise in the kingdom. But bearing all that in mind, I want to say that there is a theme in Hebrews, or one of the themes in Hebrews, is what begins in verse 3. Jesus then sat down on the right hand of the majesty in heaven. Multiple times in Hebrews, it is emphasized around 13 times that the Lord Jesus sits there. Paul even draws the contrast in Hebrews 10 with the priests of the Mosaic system who stood and ministered, but he says that Jesus sits and ministers. And that is indeed how it is that Jesus is seated at the right hand of God. And yet, at the end of his life, after he'd given his speech and Saul was arranging for him to be stoned to death, Stephen sees this vision of heaven opened and the Son of Man standing, not sitting, standing at the right hand of the throne of God. It's as if Stephen, in his hour of or moment, his time of final suffering and in the time of his death, he's given this special encouragement that Jesus is not passive, that he is not sitting there relaxed after all his crucifixion sufferings, etc., but that he feels passionately for his people here on earth, and that as he sees their sufferings, he actually rises up and pleads for them before the throne of God. And of course, what did Stephen plead for? It was, lay not this sin to their charge. In other words, forgive them. And that, in a wonderful way, was answered particularly for Saul, in a way far beyond, I suppose, what Stephen could have ever imagined. And so, Jesus is seated. Paul makes this point in Hebrews repeatedly. And yet I think he says that, and argues that, to sort of draw out the contrast with Jesus standing when Stephen was being killed. And I wondered if that opening of heaven to reveal the vision of the standing Son of Man at the right hand of God, I wonder if that was actually seen by those who were stoning Stephen. People like Saul. Did Saul see that vision in a sense? Whatever, I suggest that he was at least aware of this, because the record was of Acts that Stephen saw Jesus standing at the right hand of the throne of God would have been written by Luke under inspiration, and Luke would have known this under inspiration, And I'm sure he would have told Saul, do you know what, Saul? You remember when you were basically kicking in Stephen's head and killing him? You know what? God's revealed to me that Stephen had a vision of Jesus standing at the right hand of the throne of God while you were doing that. So Saul would have known this. Paul would have known this, either, as I say, from having seen it himself or from his friend Luke, and he was a friend of Luke, telling him this through the Holy Spirit, that that's what happened. So you see here a window onto the apparent passivity of Jesus and God to our situations on earth. The idea can be, well, where are you? You know, I'm in a crisis and you apparently are far off. Well, this is a unique little insight that, yeah, sure, that's how it might have seemed. To the skeptical eye, Stephen was coming to his end and God wasn't coming through for him, and neither was Jesus. But the point is that, in fact, yes, he was standing, begging, interceding for him. So you see there how really and truly God is not far off. God is not, as it were, looking someplace else. We do not see what is going on in heaven. But all our situations on earth, which appear to just go on ad infinitum with cotton wool clouds, drift lazily across the sky, and you think, well, all things are sort of just going on, and who's coming through for me? Yes, God sees, and Jesus is not passive. He arises from his seated position and pleads. And as I say, I think that Paul is emphasizing the seated position of Jesus, knowing that, in fact, for Stephen, the one whose murder he arranged, Jesus actually stood.